This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 3, 2022. The Fifth Sunday in Lent, or Passion Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, that in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Liturgically, the season of Lent ended yesterday at 3 p.m. That does not mean we cease our disciplines. As a matter of fact, it means we should ratchet them up. They should increase because we approach now the time of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Passiontide, very churchy way to say the times in which he suffered. We are called, and everybody loves the positive side of this, participation in the life of Christ. That call is a call to continual effort on our part to increase our conformity to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting to see the example that he gives us. For instance, our Lord Jesus Christ walked this planet for 33-ish years. The first 30 years, three decades out of 33, we don't know anything about him. Not a thing. We have one incident when he was 12, his mom loses him in the temple. And we know even then he was growing in grace and stature before God and men. But we don't know anything else about his childhood or his early adulthood. Why is that? Because that's not the example that he wants us to follow. Because what was he doing during that time? We don't know definitively what he was doing at that time. Why? Because his life was mundane. His life was just like yours and mine. He grew up. He went to work with his father, the carpenter. He just lived a life. You know, what kind of example is that for us? Even if he did it well, you know, which I'm sure he did, you go to work too. You might do your job well. That's not the example. What do we know about our Lord? What is presented to us as the example we're to follow? His sufferings, his earthly ministry, which at no point was it ever glorious in this world. We need to appreciate that. That's the example. Our Lord really kind of really puts it, he focuses like a laser beam on what the example is. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Not just, hey, you're a Christian, follow me. What would Jesus do? Take up your cross daily and follow me, because that's what I did. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He did. He demands that of us. So participation in the life of Christ is participation in his sufferings. That's what this is all about. This is our Catholic life. And unfortunately, it is sort of the antithesis of what you hear nowadays. This is a very Protestant thing, but unfortunately, you're hearing a lot, at least implicitly, in our own church. You know, that Jesus died for your sins, faith alone, once saved, always saved. Lie. It's a lie. It's a satanic deception. When you leave parts of the truth out that are imperative to advancing in your faith, moving toward that mark. Don't worry about moving toward the mark. Jesus died for your sins. You don't have to do a thing about it. Not what the Holy Spirit is telling us through St. Paul. We are supposed to continually conform ourselves. It's not enough to believe, contrary to what the billboards say on I-4. Believe. Bumper sticker. Believe. In what? That's ridiculous. It's superfluous. It's meaningless. Believe. Oh, yeah, those people say that. I'm a Catholic. I go to Mass on Sunday. Big deal. You have to. It's your obligation or your immortal sin. You're not doing God any favors. You're not advancing yourself if your spirituality is relegated to an hour on Sunday. That is not advancing toward the mark. That's doing what you, that's being in the starting blocks. Ready, set, go. Go. No, that doesn't cut it. We got to be advancing. That advancement takes striving and it takes labor on the way to perfection. Watch that word, perfection. You know, it's used a lot, but we define perfection as flawless. You know, that means, you know, tomorrow morning I got to wake up, I got to be flawless. That's not what the word perfect means when Jesus uses it. It means to be as conformed as you possibly can to your Father in heaven, who is perfect. It's this constant striving to do so. That's the perfection that we desire. Conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what he did. Taking up our cross daily and following him. You're not there yet. All your friends who like to say, once saved, always saved. They think they're there. That's what that means. You don't have to do anything else. Faith alone. You don't have to do anything else. Just have faith. Again, it's a satanic deception. You're not there yet. See, if St. Paul says these words, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. This man was converted by Jesus Christ personally. He got to go to heaven before he died. He was told not to say anything about it. Don't share this. This man had favors that we cannot conceive of these favors. And he says, I'm not there yet. I got to go to heaven before I died, but I'm not there yet. I still have to strive to reach the mark. But I know a lot of people who say, once saved, always saved, faith alone. How antithetical is that to what St. Paul says? If St. Paul isn't there yet, very rarely can I stand up here and go, none of us are there yet. And we can't act like we are. And unfortunately, that's the mode in which a lot of people have fallen. St. Paul, and there's a lot of ways that you can get really detailed about each and everything that he says, but really, you know, we need to start somewhere. This is the starting blocks of moving forward, is to know what St. Paul talks about when he's talking about striving. What do we need to do? Because this is not a matter of, hey, I'm throwing this out. Well, I haven't done it, I guess. I haven't experienced the riches of Christ. No, that's not the case. It's like, here it is. If you don't know this yet, start. Start. Because it's to your soul's detriment if you don't, if you're not proceeding. There's two things that St. Paul speaks about in showing us how to proceed forward. Detachment from things in this world and striving at putting forth effort. Those two things. That's what he talks about. Detachment. You say that word, a lot of people, well, I'm not a monk or a nun. I'm not giving up everything. I'm not called to do that. Detachment doesn't mean giving up everything. It means distancing yourself from those things, prioritizing them. Now, there are some people who are called religious, who are called to give up everything in this world. That's very few people. Very special vocation. But every single Catholic is called to detach themselves from things in this world. And it's not like you can wake up tomorrow morning and be there. You need to slowly detach yourself from things in this world. Lent. You know, I said about this whole, you know, in this whole time we've been dealing with this, I said, this is a reality. This manifests detachment. Those little things that we give up and things like that that we really like should be something that you really like, not that you replace with something else that's almost as good, just something different. No, we should be proceeding in detaching. This is where it proves I can detach myself from things I really like in this world. I can, for a period of a month or so, step back and go, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that I don't normally do. Those are the kind of things that show a detachment. This is why we do them. It's very practical. There's a method to the madness. But this goes across the board, and it's not just Coke and chocolate. St. Paul says, for the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. Little footnote on that one. I know a lot of you like to look up things when I throw this out of the box. Please, if you want to, go home and Google Philippians chapter 3 and in the newer versions, modern day church has kind of churched it up and said, I account them all as refuse. That is a gross overstatement as to what Paul, the word that he uses is not refuse. It's something much more grotesque as the way he views the things of this world. And it's not just objects. It's just not things. It is, look at St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus. This is the go-to guy for Judaism. Pharisee of Pharisees. Learned under the feet of Gamaliel. You want to know something about Judaism? You go to St. Paul, he's awesome. Yeah, the people give him warrants to go arrest Christians and all that. He's taking this ball and running. He breathes out fire against the church. Everybody loves Saul of Tarsus. And then all of a sudden, wow, what a change. Come to Christ and they're hunting you down. I mean, literally. Beating you, scourging you, stoning you to the point where they think you're dead. Then they'll leave you alone. He gave up everything. He gave up the way he used to think about things. These are the losses of things in this world. You got to stop thinking the way you used to think. You need to keep changing the way you think about things and orient your thoughts much more toward Christ. Suppose these people like to hyphenate things. I'm a this hyphen Catholic. No, you're not. You hyphenate it. You know what that means? You're not really Catholic. And that even goes to traditional. I don't like when people come to the church. Oh, found a traditional Catholic parish. No, you didn't. Found a Catholic parish. That's it. It's Catholicism. This is Catholicism. Striving. The Roman Catechism tells us once a person experiences the riches of Christ, he looks down on everything else. For there is nothing that can compare with that supreme treasure. Nothing that can be placed beside it. We can't put anything on a par with or over our spirituality, our love for Christ. You can love your family, and you better, a lot, to the point of self-sacrifice. You need to love Jesus a whole lot more. Because if you don't, that's idolatry. You put something above Christ. Can't happen. And as the Catechism says, this happens when you experience the riches of Christ. The only way that you experience the riches of Christ is to pursue them. Christ doesn't at any point in your life throw all his riches before you and say, there they are, isn't that great? He's like, no, take up your cross daily and follow me and you'll find these riches. You will experience the riches of Christ. And we experience them in this world. And that's as we detach ourselves, we start to get into this mode where we are happy no matter what's going on in our life. Please do that. Define the word properly. I know a lot of people and hear a lot of stories about people who say they're happy in their given situation, and it's disgustingly sinful. But they're happy. No, they're not. They're self-indulgent. They're pleased with their self-indulgence. It's not happiness. Because when their situation ends, in which they're indulging, as soon as that ends, they are not going to be happy anymore. For us, that's not the case. We should be happy all the time. Okay, not walking around with an insipid grin on your face all the time, but to understand that if I've experienced the riches of Christ, the stuff in this world, relationships, people, things, whatever, they come and they go. They're fleeting. And we have to appreciate that and understand that. That's not happiness. Happiness is focusing on Christ and eternal life. No matter what this life may throw you, then you're happy. In this context of spirituality, happiness, let me say something St. Paul said first, and I'll get into what St. Augustine says. St. Paul, and this jumps the tracks from the detachment thing into the striving, the effort that we need to put forth. St. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This walking, this moving forward toward experiencing the riches of Christ. St. Augustine, when I read this, and he's speaking about this passage, I read this and I literally sat back in my desk chair and I was like, wow, that sounds different what you hear mostly. Because I mean, what you go to Mass in most places now, what do you hear? Here, let me tell you some jokes to make you laugh. You know, I won't say anything that might offend someone. I won't say anything that might make someone unhappy, you know? And so what are you communicating to people? You come to Mass, it's for you to be happy. This is what St. Augustine says. You should always be unhappy with what you are. What? You know, if I just go into most parishes and just say that statement, people would get up and leave. I can't believe Father so-and-so got up and said that. Father so-and-so didn't. St. Augustine said, St. Augustine, the big gun. That's what he said. You should always be unhappy with what you are. He doesn't mean you should be generally unhappy in your life. Like I just said, we should be happy in Christ Jesus. Generally speaking, he's talking about our spirituality. We should always be unhappy with where we are. Because the moment you think you're happy with it, you basically said, that's enough. That's what then he goes on to say. When you say enough, you're finished at that moment. Our Lord's demand is that we attain something for ourselves that we are not currently. This process toward the mark of Christ. If you want to attain what you are not, you can't be happy with what you are. And if you're happy with what you are, it negates wanting to go any farther. I'm happy with this. I go to Mass on Sunday. Whatever. That's the reality. St. Augustine, when you say enough, you have finished at that moment. It is hard to do this. To learn what the faith demands of us, to learn what our Lord demands of us, to try to find a place that teaches us what our Lord demands of us. It's arduous. It's painful, sometimes physically. But as you experience the riches of Christ, as you progress in this, it gets easier and easier. This kind of resonates with me. Nothing in this world worth having is easy. It resonates with me. For over 30 years of my life, which is half of my life, 30 years of my life, I was involved in secular vocations that demanded running, literally running, sometimes a couple times a day. I hate running. You think, well, after 30 years, didn't get used to it? No, I hated it. The last run I ever went on, and I hate as much as I hated it the first day. And the first day I was 18 years old, that was great. You know, you're all healthy and you all got your knees work and everything. And I still hated it then. Supposedly you have this thing, endorphins, to kind of kick in and make running okay. I must not have an endorphin maker. Never were. And somebody would sit back and go, "Whoa, are you an idiot? You spent 30 years doing something you didn't want to do." Why? Because I wanted to be something. I wanted to be something particular, and I wanted to do something particular, and that's what it took. And I was going to deal with that for 3 decades to be that and to do that. We'll go out of our way and strive to gain things in this world, and we're going to give a second thought to striving to gain eternal life. That's a difficult thing. We see that in our, it doesn't matter who you are. The path of least resistance, the easy path, that's the one, you know, it's natural for us to want to go there, okay? It's like, you know, well, I am running. If you run down a hill, that's not even really running. It's like controlled falling. You know, gravity has taken effect, and you're like, whoa, you know, it's easy. This running stuff ain't hard. You better keep your legs, but you're going to fall down. Our life of faith isn't a downhill thing. It's not on a broad road, because we know where that leads. It's narrow. It's uphill. Psalmist, out of the depths have I cried to you. It's all uphill and not a smooth uphill, covered with rocks, slime, branches, obstacles. It's hard. But if you want something, you'll put up with it. You'll do it. St. Augustine said, he winds up everything. He said, it's better to hobble along the road than to run any other course. It's very easy to run other courses. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to run other courses. He doesn't want you to hobble. He will actually confront you with that. Look, you're just hobbling. You're not a good Catholic. You're just on your hands and knees dragging yourself. As long as you're progressing toward the mark, you're pursuing Christ, that's phenomenal. The moment you stop, the moment you turn back, the moment you go off course, is exactly what he wants, because then you're not following the mark. Because what is the mark? You know, a lot of people get this whole racing thing with St. Paul. Okay, a race in the finish line. Yeah, there is a finish line, but you can't cross it unless you pursue Jesus Christ. This is the reality. You pursue Christ. This is St. John Chrysostom, St. Theodoret. I mean, they talk at length. This is our Catholic life. It's pursuing Christ. It's not just like running, get slower, some type of, we're pursuing Jesus. That's why he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. He adds that cross thing. It isn't going to be easy. It's hard enough to just run after me. You need to carry your cross while you're doing it. This is that striving. This is what he demands of us. This is what St. Paul's talking about. This is what Passion Tide is all about. This is what leads up to Easter, up to the Easter Vigil, because Passion Tide is basically, it's up in your face. The readings in Mass, even the daytime Masses, I mean, they get long, and they're all about the Passion. They're all about suffering. They're all about blood. I don't want to hear about that. That doesn't make me happy. It didn't make Jesus happy either, but he endured it for our salvation. We ought to reciprocate just a little bit by trying to strive in what he wants us to do, because that is our call. You're not called to go to Mass on Sunday. You're obliged to do that. You're called to take up your cross daily and follow him. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.